And it gets so specific. And I love when they get so specific and I connect.
Yeah.
Because it just feels, again, a little bit magic for Marissa, but it feels magical. It feels like I've connected through someone in the most absurd way. All right, and welcome to the Book Jar Podcast. This is a bi-weekly podcast hosted by me, Marissa, and my best friend, Megan, who is actually gracing me with her presence today. And I make that joke because she's been on something called a honeymoon that I've been complaining about for the past 2 months.
Yeah, I'm just not a figment of your imagination.
I feel like I'm really happy we started a podcast together because we don't take pictures together, but I still had proof that you actually existed. True.
You have my voice. But
I
is
have
it
your voice?
It could be AI generated. Nobody knows now.
Yeah, you sound AI for sure.
I know I do.
Good job. So Megan, how you been?
Pretty good. Been reading, been just doing life.
Doing life?
It's been good. How about you?
I think I had a problem while you were gone, which was called I could not stop buying books. Normally I have that problem generally, but there's a lot more in my house.
I feel like I kind of knew because every few days there'd be a new picture in Discord. My new book haul. And I'm like, oh no.
Oh no. Marissa, stop.
I'm not there to rein her in. Yeah. Just kidding.
Nobody's calling me out on it. So.
But you know, now your library has grown.
It really has. The unfortunate part about my library growing is I want it to grow in my basement, which is where I put all my, for those new listeners potentially out there, that's where I put all my books that I've read.
Yeah.
And it's only grown in my upstairs, which is where I keep all the books I haven't read.
Yeah. You almost need to like switch the areas because I don't want to do that, though,
because that would be admitting defeat, I feel like.
And also a lot of work.
A lot of work. Yeah, are you volunteering for this? I make that joke as though every time I have to organize my books, I don't conveniently do it when you show up at my house. When I got my new shelves in my basement, you came over one day and I was like, look at what we're doing.
Yeah. You're helping, right? Not. Yeah. It's not a question, guys.
It's not a question. You're my best friend and it comes with the title.
Yeah.
All right. So it has been a hot minute since we've been able to pick each other's brains on books. So this is mostly a catch-up exercise podcast. Also a catch-up exercise, I guess.
It's fair.
Yeah. Exercising our friendship here. gotta get back in shape. So we haven't met for approximately 2 months. The last book I said I read on the podcast was, I was reading Cage of Dreams.
Yes. How did that go? You had a pretty bold statement there.
Yeah, I did. I just let's, before we even get into that, how many books are we hearing about from you today?
I'm just double checking because in case I miscounted, I have 10.
10. Okay.
Yeah.
That's actually really good for being on your honeymoon for a vast majority of that.
Yeah. I mean, I think the last month I've read the most, but overall, like, pretty impressed with myself. How about you?
So I did 15.
Pretty good.
15 and varying lengths. There was actually quite a few long ones that I got through. So pretty impressed with that. And yeah, we have a variety. It's been a large variety of books.
Ooh,
I'll say that.
Excited.
So when we last connected, I was reading Cage of Dreams by Rebecca Schaefer, and I finished that and I am thoroughly, I hate to say it, disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually gave it 2.5 stars.
Wow.
It was bad. It was not what I wanted from her. I think also I had really high expectations of her because City of Nightmares, which is the first book in that series, had such high potential. And I remember finishing it and thinking, wow, that was not the best written or most well-written book I've ever read. It was not super polished, but the amount of creativity that went into the characters, the plot, and the world was so outstanding that I had such high hopes for her second book. And the second one honestly felt meh. There was not a lot going on, which was a similar problem I had with the first, is that I felt like there could have been more happening. But also, it was so exposition first of, this is exactly how I'm feeling. Like, you can't read into these lines at all because I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm feeling. And it was just the main character complaining for pages upon pages upon pages about how scared she was. And it was exhausting. I really didn't like it. I did not enjoy it.
It's a lot of extra words to say one thing.
Yeah, that's, I know I read a portion of it to you when you came over one day, and it's legitimately not well done.
Yeah.
Which is super disappointing because I think the concept of these books and the City of Nightmares is the idea that everyone's been infected with nightmares. And so if they dream of a nightmare, they become what their nightmare is, which is a super cool idea. And in Cage of Dreams, our main character has freed people from the nightmare, like the nightmare monster no longer haunts their dreams. And so it's kind of dealing with the repercussions and the fallout of that and how corrupt the society still is. And it just, I feel like she didn't really know what to do with the story anymore. And so it became very repetitive and dull. So that was not my favorite read so far.
Fair. It doesn't sound like it.
No.
It sounds like you should have DNF'd that and you said nope.
I didn't. And I didn't for a couple of reasons. One, I had ordered this copy through Fairy Loot, I believe, because I had gotten the first one and it was really beautiful. And I had high hopes for the second one. And so I ordered it so that they would match. And I paid quite a bit of money for these books, so I felt like I wanted to be able to read it to fulfillment. Also, you know my thing about DNFing. I want to be able to say, hey, I did this. It was also only 354 pages. For me, that's not too bad. If it would have been 500, 600 pages, I might have thought about DNFing it. It was really that bad. So that's kind of where I ended up with that one. I'll do just one more and then we'll go to you. So I have The Clergyman's Wife, which is a Pride and Prejudice spinoff novel. So it focuses around Charlotte Collins, or Charlotte Lucas as she's seen in Pride and Prejudice, and her experience after marrying Elizabeth's cousin, who is the vicar of Hunsford, and kind of her coming to terms with the realities of her life and also the realities of not marrying for love, but for position. I thought it was pretty well done. I really enjoyed how the author was able to somewhat emulate a Jane Austen feel in her novel without, you know, just straight up kind of feeling like it was a copy. There was a little bit of personality still injected into it. I did feel like the characters fell a little bit flat, almost as though I feel like maybe the author was scared to kind of play with them too much because they have such a reputation around them. And yeah, so I would recommend, if you really like Pride and Prejudice, it was kind of a fun book to read, and the plot is definitely what I imagine would probably have happened to Charlotte. So
interesting.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one.
That sounds like a cute little...
It was cute.
Yeah, like kind of like you want a classic vibe, but...
But also a little bit refreshed, injected with a little bit new life. So it was fun.
That's cute. Okay, well, I read Book of Night by Holly Black, which I might have mentioned it before.
You did. I ordered it.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
It was in my most recent to come in book haul.
Okay. I liked it. It was kind of, so it's about this world where like magicians, kind of sorcerers exist, and it's like well known that there's magic, but there is also like underground magic and stuff like that. So it follows our main character who kind of is like, kind of like morally gray. She, you know, used to live a life of like stealing and just like that kind of stuff. So there's these grimoires that come available and have like, I don't know, spells, information, whatever in it that everyone wants. And she's hired to basically steal this grimoire using her skills that she's learned
feeling
over the
very
years.
Invisible Library-esque.
Yeah.
Plot-wise.
Plot.
Maybe not in writing or world, for sure.
Definitely not. And it's definitely more of that shady kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, follows our main character, Charlie. And some people, so a lot of people that don't have the magic, they kind of look up to the people who do and like fantasize that like they want to have the magic as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I should clarify. So the magic is like to do with shadows. So that's like kind of what's like an interesting point of it.
Okay.
So there's different types of like, you can like manipulate your shadows to do stuff like.
Oh, interesting.
Stuff
okay,
like that.
Cool.
So it's, I don't want to get like, I can't really explain
yeah,
it without.
Yeah, don't go too far in because yeah. I definitely have it literally on my shelf.
Yeah.
So
it's like shadows is like what makes the magic, I guess. That's like yeah. the simplest okay. form of it. So yeah, it's just like really interesting that like the world behind it in such a like, I don't think this is going to have another book to it, but in such a like small book, I feel like she incorporated so much world building.
It shocked me how small it was.
Yeah, like it looks...
Because you spoke very highly about it, and so I kind of assumed it was maybe a little bit thicker. Not too thick, because that's not really your style, but I was thinking, you know, just the amount of the world that you were explaining. I actually was a little bit surprised when it came in, and it was relatively small.
Yeah, like that's what surprised
me. For fantasy, for sure. I mean,
yeah. And it is like more of a like magical realism type of thing, for
right,
sure.
Okay.
So, but she just is really, like Holly Black herself is just, I find really
Have
good
you
at.
Read stuff? Other stuff by her?
Yeah, I've read The Coldest Girl in Cold Town, which is like a
I don't know how I feel about that name, to be honest with you, but I'm sure it's good.
I mean, it's something like that. But yeah, so that's like about a girl who basically vampires exist, well known, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
And she has to go into Cold Town or whatever.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. So it's really good. And she writes like tension really well, like romantic tension. And she also wrote, I mean, she's wrote a few things, but The Cruel Prince.
Oh, that's
books.
Where I know her name from.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I read the like first three of those. There's like spinoffs and stuff like that, but
that's getting a lot of attention on TikTok right now.
Yeah, I think she just released a new book or something in the Fae realm, elf film, I think it's called.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So that's why she's kind of popping back up, but
okay,
yeah,
so maybe we should also do it this way. So this is a recommend.
Yeah I would okay. recommend this one if you're like kind of into that occult witchy magic vibe. And it's just, I just love that it focused on the shadows of it. I haven't mm-hmm. seen that anything
it was
like
a cool
that
twist
done. Yeah, and yeah, the writing's good. I just liked it.
Cool. All right, so I read a magical realism book as well called One Italian Summer by Rebecca Searle. This one was interesting. It had a really cool concept. So the concept is, after a woman, her name is Katie, loses her mother, she goes on the vacation that they had planned together by herself to kind of to find herself. She's feeling very lost. And she ends up meeting someone who looks very much like her mom did when her mom was her age, like in her 30s. And it turns out it is her mother. So she's vacationing with her mom 30 years or like when she was 30 years old. And Katie's kind of questioning how this is, you know, what's going on here, but also just making the most of being around her mom. I think some of the twists that were in the book were really well done. The thing that I didn't love so much about it is the mother-daughter relationship was dysfunctionally close.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't do anything without her mom's yes. She didn't make any choice that her mom... It was uncomfy.
Yeah.
And...
Like controlling kind of...
Yeah, not presented in that way.
Yeah.
Presented as very healthy, which I guess it is a first person perspective, so that's fair. But I didn't really feel like the point was to maybe really take on that as a theme, but more of, wow, this is how close they were.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of made it a little bit unbelievable to me. And I'm not saying you can't be close with your mom, you can, but it was just the way it was described. In fact, she talks about her dad and how her dad's kind of like in the way of their relationship. Like it's very, it was very weird.
Yeah.
And also, and this is a little bit of a spoiler for the novel, there's infidelity. The woman is married and she's on a break from her husband, but it's they don't talk about what that means. And she does sleep with someone else. But because, as it's kind of revealed in the end, she's magically transported back in time, she basically has the thought like, that doesn't really count because it was in the past before I even... But it's not. Hmm. And it just made me uncomfortable that there wasn't more conversation around that.
Yeah.
Or she... And I guess, how do you be honest with your husband about that? I got magically transported to the 80s and I slept with someone. But you did still sleep with someone,
yeah,
right?
Like, you don't have to say the 80s part.
Yeah, that made me a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I know people deal with grief in a lot of ways, and you're totally fair to deal with grief in your own way. In fact, and I understand, like, this is one of those situations where I could understand, I'm not excusing infidelity, but I could understand more how it's happening. You're not in the right frame of mind. You're dealing with something, and I could see it's definitely to be discussed in the relationship, but the fact that it was never discussed really made me uncomfortable. That's an unhealthy thing.
Yeah.
You need to talk to your partner. If you made a mistake like that, even in the lowest of your grief, that needs to be something you move forward together. I don't think that's necessarily fair. And that's my opinion. You might not agree with me, but it bugged me a lot.
Yeah.
I think I would recommend this to people who like the magical realism or want to get into magical realism, because mm-hmm. it was a really good entry point. It also had some good lessons about grief, so if that was a conversation, but it didn't feel, and I can be quite triggered by books that heavily deal with grief. I didn't feel triggered by it at all.
Oh, that's so good.
It was good and bad. It kind of meant it didn't deal with it like fully in a real way.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So it could kind of be a bridge maybe to conversations about grief. But I don't think if you've just lost someone, you might actually have the feeling that I kind of had, which is this is not quite how I feel like people feel.
Yeah. It's not like, I want to say like realistic.
It's almost not. It was a little bit, she was too over the top with her emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And it was too melodramatic almost that I couldn't really buy into that premise. So, and that might just be me, but
yeah,
I would recommend with an asterisk, not for everyone, but definitely not terrible.
That's fair.
Right. Next one for you.
Next one for me is Love Looks Pretty on You by Lang Leave.
Yes.
Are you proud of me?
I'm proud of you. I'm so proud of you.
I'm proud of myself.
This book I bought for you. And one, I just love the title.
Yeah.
I feel you're not supposed to judge books by their cover. Although, again, we've talked about that. That's more about people and not about books.
Yeah.
Everybody judges books a little bit by their cover. But I judge it by vibe. And I feel like that's how you have to pick out a poetry book. You just have to look at it, maybe open it up to make sure it's the right feel. But something about it will call to you. And that's maybe that's my magical realism in my own world. The poetry books you need to read will find you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember looking that and thinking, this is Megan. And so I'm excited to hear. No pressure.
No pressure.
But what did you think?
I really enjoyed it. So like, I don't know, I've probably read a handful of poetry books, if that. And so I didn't know what to expect. And I was like, oh, I'm going to have to sit down and like analyze everything and just like, this is going to take me so long. But I really enjoyed that it was like a mix between poetry and prose. And like, I just like some of it I didn't relate to, but a lot of it I did, like just being a woman and like being in a relationship and like going through loss or like whatever. Like a lot of it was like super relatable and like vulnerable.
Yes.
Which I really loved. Because I could just like see her like writing this down and like going through something in her life. And I'm like, huh, I want to do that.
Yeah. I mean, there's poetry exists for a number of reasons. But my favorite poetry is honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I love when I can tell that this was the only way that they felt like they could talk about something.
Yeah.
And it gets, when you're getting to that level of honesty, you're getting so specified too. You're talking about a specific moment. You're not talking about how grief feels, for example, but you're talking about how grief felt day 132 after it happened while you were taking a shower or something like that. And it gets so specific. And I love when they get so specific and I connect.
Yeah.
Because it just feels, again, a little bit magic for Marissa, but it feels magical. It feels like I've connected through someone in the most absurd way.
Yeah.
And also, and then there's the moments where you're reading something and you're like, I don't relate to any of the details of what's happening, but that feeling I felt.
Yes.
Yeah. And I find that so cool.
Yeah. And I definitely got that from her poetry.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
So I really enjoyed it. And I like flew through it. I would read like, I don't know, however many pages at a time.
Yeah.
And then I would like flag to the ones I really liked and related to. Some of them I didn't know. So I was like, meh, next one. But overall, like, really enjoyed it. I gave it 4.25 stars.
I'm so proud of you also. Thank you. I know you've asked me both on and off the pod about how to read poetry too. And I remember my piece of advice was to just take it as it is.
Yeah.
And not fight with it. If you're not relating, that's okay. You can try reading it again. You can try going through if you think you missed something. But if it's just not connecting with you, like, move on. That's okay.
Yeah. And that's what I did. I just gave myself grace and I was like, I didn't like this.
I'm so proud of you.
I'm
going to
keep going.
I'm so proud of you. Yeah,
thank you. And so we're going to try a few more.
Yeah. I'm so excited that now I can... Now I can buy you more poetry books and we can do it in the book club. I'm so excited. This just unraveled for me. All right. So I'm going to do two of the books that I read back to back next because they were part of a series. So I read the Wilderwood series by Hannah Whitten, which the first book in that series is called For the Wolf and the second is For the Throne. And what happened here is I ordered online For the Throne, not understanding it was the second one in the series. So obviously I had to go out and buy the first one. Mm-hmm. It lauds itself almost as a retelling of Little Red Riding Hood. And there are elements that definitely connect to Little Red Riding Hood, but it was more of a somewhat blend of Beauty and the Beast, which I thoroughly enjoyed. I really like Hannah Whitten. She wrote another book that I really loved, which was The Foxglove King.
Okay.
And I read that one last year. And I just think it's really cool how she goes into her novels. And also the world building is quite interesting. Essentially, the premise is that the royal family will always have two daughters. And one is for the wolf and one is for the throne. So the first daughter is for the throne and the second is for the wolf. And for the wolf means they literally get sacrificed and left in the Wilderwood to be given to the wolf, assuming that the wolf will kill the girl. Obviously, we don't quite have that. We have hot guy show up and you see where this is going. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed how much was connected to Beauty and the Beast and how much wasn't. I felt like it was a really cool take on it. Hot take as well, I liked the second one a lot better.
Oh, interesting.
So For the Wolf, I found parts really dragged or felt really slow. For the Throne, it started and I was for it.
Yeah.
I would highly recommend these to anyone who likes fantasy with a little bit of romance. It's definitely not romance first. The romance is there and it's an integral part of the story, but it's definitely not the only part. I don't want to spoil anything else with it because I think this one might be one that you would even maybe like.
Right.
But it is a slower pace. So I would recommend it to people who want something fantasy, want that romance in it, or don't mind that romance in it, and aren't afraid to deal with a little bit of world building, politics, religion, discussion, and how they're playing into the plot. But yeah, Hannah Whitten is really climbing my list as an author I really love. So yeah. That's where I am with those two.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah.
I love a good fairy tale retelling.
I do too. And I feel always like I'll read one and it's really good. And I'm like, why don't I read more of these? And then I read a different one. And my first thought is, oh, this is why.
Yeah.
So there's definitely ones that aren't just, or they stay too close, or they try to twist it in a way that just doesn't make sense, or something like that. It just misses for me. I always really liked Beauty and the Beast as a child. Obviously, I really connected to Belle because she loved books. That was pretty simple.
Yeah.
And I really loved that. So I'm actually really surprised that the one that was the Beauty and the Beast retelling, while good, did not snag me. And the second one was so great. Although the second one is more enemies to lovers. That's very fun for me as well. So
love an enemy.
This would
lovers.
Be one. I'm not sure. I wouldn't tell you to read it, you personally, Megan, but if you are intrigued by it, I think it would be a good option, but it's not a must read. Okay. That's how I feel about this. It's not a must read, but it's a really good read.
Okay, fair. I like that. Yeah, thanks. Puts less pressure on me.
Yeah, you don't have to read it, but it's there if you want it.
All right, my next one, speaking of enemies to lovers, is called Highly Suspicious and Unfairly Cute by Talia Hibbert.
Love the name.
And I had this book on my TBR for a while, but I just wanted to shout out a reading challenge on Storygraph.
Okay.
Because that's kind of the reason that I actually like finally picked it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Diverse Baseline Official Challenge, hosted by the Margarita_S.
Okay.
And basically every month they give you 3 prompts to kind of read more diverse authors, POC authors, and just a lot more representation in different areas that you might not consider, like historical fiction, poetry, all of that. So I was personally looking for something to expand my reading.
Okay.
And I found that. And I really do enjoy that challenge. So if anyone's looking for something, check it out.
Okay.
Anyways, this story is about, it's like a young adult contemporary novel.
Mm-hmm.
Enemies to lovers. They used to be friends. Had a falling out.
Right.
They're both highly academic students.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of the challenge, like the reading challenge, was that to have a fat main character written by a Black author. So that was the prompt.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. It's a very specific prompt.
Yeah. They are very specific. So, which I like, because then you are finding these, you know, good representation. But yeah, like, and it even had like bi rep in it. It had like really cute banter. Basically, there's this really respectful lawyer that the main female character really likes.
Right.
And looks up to. And she hosts this kind of camping retreat every year where you learn like all these skills. And if you do well by the end of the camping trip, you get like selected into this kind of like internship almost. So it'll look good on their resume. So both the main character, the female main character and the love interest get into this program. And then they kind of just like learn to work together, have a little bit of flirtiness and all the things. And it's just a cute little YA romance if you're looking for something fun and easy to read.
I didn't need another recommendation, and I felt called to with that one.
I feel like you would enjoy it. Like, it's not, like I said, young adult, so don't expect anything spicy, but it is really cute and different representation in it. So, yeah.
Cool. Speaking not cute, not YA. Okay.
Just opposite.
Just complete opposite of everything you just said. I read A Dowry of Blood by S.T. Gibson. This book, honestly, it just called to me in a book order that I made, because the picture on the front, it's red, white, and black. Essentially, it's like a black and white, but the red is really pops out on it. And there's a blood smear. It's just a picture of a woman in a admittedly bosomy dress with just a smudge of blood over her eyes, like over almost over like a pitcher, so it goes like across her eyes. And I just thought that looks cool. And then I read about it, and it was described as a dark retelling of Dracula.
Interesting.
Well,
a dark retelling of Dracula, even though it's
a gothic horror. I was intrigued. So it tells the story of Constanta, who is saved from the brink of death by an undying king who we find out is Dracula. And it's the story of them falling in love and also him manipulating her into essentially letting more people into their relationship. So it's very interesting. It's very LGBTQIA, and we have a polyamorous relationship. We have bisexuality, pansexuality. We have very spicy scenes, including that, although not the most spicy that I've read. So, but definitely expect detail. And I will say, I appreciated that even though it came from an unhealthy relationship, manipulative start of this relationship, the representation of the polyamorous relationship wasn't just based off of stereotypes or anything like that. And actually, our main character does want to be in a polyamorous relationship, just not the way it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So the feeling she has for everyone in the relationship is real, but the way she was manipulated into allowing this is not healthy. And I felt like there was a really good blend of that being talked about. The author really bridged that line really incredibly well to make it very clear that, you know, this was not a good thing that happened, but also not represent the relationship in a bad light, mm-hmm. which is such a hard thing to balance. I think it was really beautiful how it ended, the plot, the story. I will say the writing really went up and down for me. There was a choice made that it's kind of being retold almost like a confession, mm-hmm. which worked well at some points and really irritated me at others. So I think if you're looking for, you're on a Dracula or a vampire kick and you like a little bit of spice, I'd recommend it. I actually think you would enjoy it.
Oh, really?
Again, I don't think it's a must read for you, but I know you really enjoyed Dracula, and true. I think this would be a romance novel that you really did like, and I didn't feel as though it was only about the romance either. Mm-hmm. This was definitely not erotic, it was just romance.
Okay.
So, and the fantasy was also very high in it, so romance first, but not only.
Okay. I mean, I just picked up Bride by Allie Hazelwood, and that has vampires in it, so I'm like, maybe I'll just pick that one up after.
Maybe. Just go to this one after. Yeah, I did enjoy it overall. I don't think I'd recommend it to everyone, but I would recommend it to certain people for sure.
Okay, nice. My turn.
Your turn.
Yay. All right, so the next one. The next one is In the Dream House by Carmen Maria Machado. And this was a really interesting read. So it is a memoir. It's very anecdotal, I feel like.
Okay,
so
yeah.
It's about her. So there's content warnings to this. It is about her being in a abusive relationship. And it focuses on LGBTQ abuse, like relationship abuse. And how, like, that hasn't really been fully, I guess, like, researched or delved into as much as, like, a heterosexual couple. And, like, how, you know, there's kind of this stigma, I guess, that gay couples are, you know, like, they're good people. Like, they're not going to treat their partners in a negative way, anything like that. Like, there's just kind of, like, this stereotype to it that people kind of brush off abuse that actually happens. So it focuses on that. I really enjoyed how it was written because she kind of has two. So it's obviously multi-timeline. It goes between, I don't know, I said obviously. Like
obviously.
Like, you know.
but obviously, like, there's no other way to write it. So this is not the topic to laugh at, but that was really funny.
So it focuses on, like, who she is now, obviously, and how she, you know, is in a better relationship. Yeah. She is in a healthier, like, she's just healthier,
stage of her life.
Happier. Yeah. So she kind of refers to herself as I in those. So you're, like, reading it and you're, like, first person. But then when she starts to talk about who she was in this abusive relationship, she uses you. And it's, like,
interesting.
Really
I
interesting.
I think the most powerful and the hardest to use perspective is second person. And when you read a book that uses a second person perspective, using that you correctly and for a purpose. Chef's kiss,
yes,
crying, screaming, throwing up. It is beautiful.
And she did do a good job. Just because it is, like, that was the distinction of who she is now and
who she
was
then. And looking back on it and kind of separating the self from what has happened. I love that a lot.
Yeah. Like, it was very
interesting. That sounds
interesting.
Really beautiful.
All people, my brother recommended it to me. So shout out to Nick.
You know who you are.
You know who you are. You probably don't listen to this, but hey.
But your wife might. So hey.
Yeah, that's true. Hey. But yeah, so, like, it's very interesting because it is, like, first and foremost a memoir, but it is educating people on the stats
it
and
is
the
an
stigma
important
and
thing
everything.
To talk about because I know that within the LGBTQ community, that can be, well, one, it's hard to talk about because you're fighting for your right to be in that relationship, but then also talking about how that still has the same pitfalls as every other relationship, right?
Yeah.
They can be toxic and they can be abusive. And also, I know people within that community can find it hard to talk about because they can get separated from almost everyone else in their life. So they end up with only that person really on their side. So if that person is abusive and they're in an abusive relationship and they've gone, like, disowned by their family or are in a turbulent place with their family, that can be really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So that's so important to talk about. I really love that.
Yeah, it's definitely very educational. And eye-opening and overall really well done.
Like overall a recommend?
Overall recommend.
Love that for that. Okay, I'm going to move on to, and this is just, I'm just doing this in order, so I'm going to a really light place after that, which is Bloody Sweet, which is my absolute favorite manga. Ooh. That used to be on an app called Manta.
Mm-hmm.
And they took it off the app and I was very upset.
Aww.
But I thought to myself, wow, you know, when usually when they, I feel like when they remove it, it's because they're being put somewhere else or some other reason the author has withdrawn. And so I Googled it and oh my gosh, Ernest Wu and Nare Lee published.
Awesome.
So I had volume one of Bloody Sweet, which is an absolutely adorable story. I highly recommend this to everyone who likes manga and vampires.
We have a theme today.
We do have a theme. There's lots of vampires going on. So it tells the story of a young girl who is bullied and doesn't fit in with her peers, who is forced into a abandoned church, I believe. And, you know, it's at night and the mean friends, quote unquote friends, are forcing her in there because it might be haunted and all this scary stuff. And they approach a cabinet and it's sealed off and they make her open it. And inside is a man. And it's kind of like a dead body almost looking like. And it falls on her and her friends run away screaming. And it's actually a vampire who ends up nicking her skin and getting a little bit of blood in his mouth, which links him to her with a invisible to everyone else except for them red string, and essentially makes him almost like her little puppy. Like that's the best way to describe it. And it's really just a story about him trying to become a human and her trying to get rid of him, but also not very quickly into the relationship, and obviously falling a little bit in love, which I do enjoy.
We love that.
But there's really great lessons about, you know, bullying, self-harm. All these themes are coming into it. I really love this story. If that piqued your interest at all, I highly recommend it, and I will be making Megan read it at some point.
You've talked about it before.
Yes, I have.
I'm definitely interested in it. So
yeah.
Okay, so I have a graphic novel next.
Nice.
And it's Fly By Night by Tara O'Connor with Triona Farrell. I don't know what that means. Do you?
Yeah, it could be a number of things. They might have used that person as a reference or information, or might have been a little bit of illustration.
Helped with something.
Helped with some in some very significant way.
Well, learned something new.
There you go.
All right. So anyway, very interesting idea. So it's about this girl who lives with her dad because her parents got divorced and her twin sister still lives with her mom until her twin sister goes missing. So they come back to the city where they were living to kind of search for her sister. She's kind of hoping that she can kind of do her own little investigation and get some information. So on top of, you know, looking for her sister, she's also getting involved with environmentalism in this small town. Because there's this big corporation that wants to build like a pipeline through the rainforest or whatever forest there. It's in New Jersey. I don't know. That's probably not a rainforest.
Okay.
Anyways. So yeah, it's just like following her, kind of coping with the disappearance of her sister, exploring the themes of environmentalism. There's a little bit of supernatural-esque there.
Okay, cool.
There's like, I don't know if you've heard of the Jersey Devil. There's some like mentions of like folklore.
I know
that.
The New Jersey Devils, but that's a hockey team.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably based connected. On that.
I realize now.
Yeah. So yeah. And a little bit of, you know, family dynamics and high school drama. And it was just like very beautifully illustrated, drawn.
Okay.
And like an overall, just like a really good story.
Is it a recommend or?
I would say if you're looking for a graphic novel and you haven't really read many and you want something like kind of easy and interesting.
Yeah.
I'd recommend it.
All right. So my next one is Silver in the Bone by Alexandra Bracken. This is one that I've seen a lot of people recommend on Book Talk and on Instagram and stuff like that. It was interesting. So it has a King Arthur mythology premise to it, and we're dealing with that mythology there. It tells the story of a girl and her brother, and essentially they find talismans and jewels and essentially hidden treasure that have sometimes magical capabilities for witches and stuff like that. There's a lot going on in this story. The girl, Tamsin Lark, is looking for her, well, her brother is looking for their parent, almost surrogate father figure who disappeared when they were very young during one of these quests that they went on. And they end up in Avalon from the King Arthur myth and essentially try to save it, sort of thing. There's a lot going on in this book. Yeah. I thought it was good, but I didn't think it was fantastic. Again, this was one where if somebody said, hey, I'm about to buy it, is it worth it? I wouldn't say no, but I wouldn't say absolutely buy it.
Yeah.
I would say it was an interesting read. I might read the next one in the series, but also I don't know if I'm that committed to the story. It fell into some kind of lazier tropes that I didn't love, including, you know, the main character just being very unfriendly to everyone and just calling herself a pessimist. And it got a little bit irritating. And those parts felt really YA. So I guess for a younger reader, I would say, yeah, go for it. But yeah, if you're an adult reader who likes the occasional young adult, it might not be one that I think you have to read. Although it does have a cool premise and some cool stuff in it. So if you already have it on your shelf, definitely read it. If it's on sale, get it. I don't know if I'd go out of my way to buy it.
Did she do The Darkest Minds or The Dark Minds or something like that?
I don't actually know.
Because if she did, yeah, she did. So I read the first book of that series.
Okay.
And I enjoyed it and I liked it, but it was kind of like same thing. Like, I don't feel the need to continue it.
Yeah.
I do have the second book and I do intend on reading it one day,
but it's not urgent.
It's not urgent. So
that's how I felt about this. If I got the second book or I found the second book, probably not full price, I would probably buy it and read it because I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
But this isn't one I would put in your hands and say, oh my God, Megan, you have to read this. This was kind of just, it is what it was.
Yeah.
So that's how I felt about that one.
So next one is The Night Shift by Alex Finley. And this is a crime thriller.
Lots of Alexes.
Yeah.
Like Alexandra, I have.
I think you just have all the Alexes. I have one Alex.
I have one Alex. Never mind. There's two Alexes and I just paid really close attention to both of them.
Yes, really. Just notice it's because of our friend Alex.
They also came back to back, so maybe that was it.
This is a crime thriller. It starts off with a kind of this massacre that happened at a Blockbuster and where like a few of the young teenage girls that worked there got murdered and they never found out who did it. They thought it was this one boy who ended up like going free because they didn't have enough evidence, and then he just kind of disappeared. And then we come to I think it was like 2021 or 2020, whenever the book came out. Something similar happens in the same town but at an ice cream shop, and it is a few teenage girls that get murdered, and similar MO as the
original one.
So it follows a few different point of views. It follows the sole survivor from the first massacre and how she's like coping with it and everything. It also follows a detective of the new recent one.
Mm-hmm.
And it follows the brother of the guy who was originally convicted or whatever of the murder. Very interesting. If you like crime thrillers, mystery, figuring out who's the bad guy and why it was done.
Was it worth the reveal in the end?
I think so. I kind of had a suspicion, so it wasn't like super surprising, but there were like other twists and turns in it that I wasn't really expecting.
Okay.
And it was pretty entertaining the whole way through, and then kind of just like at the end it was just like all thrown in your face a little bit, but like still like interesting.
Okay.
Like, it got my emotions going.
Yeah.
So I would definitely recommend it to people who love crime thrillers for sure.
Right. That makes sense. All right. I have The Fires of Heaven, which is the fifth installment of the Wheel of Time series.
Oh, yeah.
So the 989 pages that came with that baby.
Why couldn't they add 11 more pages?
Yeah, right?
Like, why?
Even 1,000. So this was a really interesting one. If you want my full thoughts, there are like 12 hours of it over on the Queens of Fantasy podcast. Well, it's not fully released yet, but we have started releasing, as of the release date of this podcast, there's a couple episodes of that that you can listen to. But overall, I gave it a 3.25 stars out of 5. It has a lot of the same critiques, I guess, with a lot of the other books in the series that I've found. I don't find Robert Jordan a very strong writer in his prose, and I don't think he writes very good characters, specifically very consistent characters. Mm-hmm. The plot of this one was really interesting, and the ending was kind of felt fulfilling, although there was a couple of questions that I didn't like the taste in my mouth afterwards. Mm-hmm. It kind of ends mm-hmm. on a, did something happen or did it not? Mm-hmm. I can't really say more without spoiling, and I really don't want to do that. So that left a little bit of a bitter taste in my mouth, but that, yeah, I read that one. Would I recommend this? That's a hard question. So the Wheel of Time series at this point, I don't think this is a must read. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say that because it has such a heavy place in the fantasy genre, especially right now with the TV show coming out.
Right.
And it does feel almost like a rite of passage in the fantasy genre. I would say if you're a big fantasy buff, I don't think it's not worth the undertaking. If you're a slow reader, I don't think it's worth it personally.
Yeah.
If you're a quick reader and you don't mind spending months on this series, go for it. I don't think it's the worst thing ever written, but yeah. Also I'm having a little bit of trouble with the misogyny, the sexism, the mm-hmm. copious amounts of naked women that I have to read mm-hmm. about, and it gets a little bit tiring after a while, so definitely go into that with that known.
Yeah.
I don't think right now, again, that my opinion on this might change. I'm currently working on book 6. There are still 8 books left in the main series, and then there's a prequel. So definitely my opinion could change by the end, but I'm not seeing it as a must read.
Yeah.
Unless you want to check it off your list.
That's fair.
It's more homework than fun.
And I just want to say that you can still listen to the podcast.
Yes.
Queens of Fantasy podcast without reading it, because that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. We do a fairly thorough job. Our podcasts end up being anywhere between 2 to 4 hours,
mm-hmm.
which means we actually record for like 5 to 6 hours usually. But we do have quite an in-depth coverage of mm-hmm. the plot. We do go through it. And you're not actually the only person I know of that's listening to it because they don't want to read it, or listening to it and not reading it at the same time, because we are doing, if I may say so myself and pat myself on the back or us on the back rather, we are doing a really thorough job of covering the plot, so you can definitely go through mm-hmm. it with that light. This is also, just to give a quick plug there, so this is a podcast that is a sister podcast to this one and is run through our Discord as well, so if you want to go and check that out, even to see kind of what we're into, or ask us any questions about it and whether you're kind of interest peaked but don't know whether you want to read or not, definitely go check out our Discord server. Link is in the description of this podcast for that. We're happy to answer your questions and go from there. And I am part of that podcast right now, as is our good friend Alex and Tay, who have been on this podcast lots, so you'll recognize their names and their voices. Megan may be on future seasons, but she was not. She heard 15 books and she clocked right out with a no.
Like almost 1,000 pages per book?
Nah. Yeah, not happening. Some of them are only like 500, so.
Only. That's like the max I read some years.
Yeah. All right, what's your next book?
So the next one I have is All Systems Red, Martha Wells. And this is a Murderbot Diaries number 1. So it's like a little novella and it's like in a little series. I think there's 8 total.
Mm.
And I picked this book up because I've been wanting to do more kind of science fiction books. Nice. And I've heard a lot of good things about Martha Wells and this series in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
So it follows Murderbot, that's what they call themselves, and basically they are like an AI entity, whatever, and they work for this company to act almost like security for going to different planets just to protect the people that are taking samples, doing research, whatever. Murderbot gets their own like sentience. They like aren't controlled by the company they work for anymore. They actually have their own thoughts and feelings. They watch soap operas. Like they just like are their own like their being. Like being. Yeah. Yeah. So they're not, they aren't technically controlled by anything, but they still have to kind of act like it. So they're not like, oh, this is a defective AI robot. Yeah. What should we do? Like, because they're a little bit afraid of them too, because they do have guns in their arms.
They have
like,
killing capability.
Yeah. They could kill you. So it's just about how antisocial the murder bot is and like really doesn't want to interact with the other humans.
Oh my God, I love it.
On like the planet. And they're like, they want to connect with the murder bot. And then once they realize that the murder bot can have its own thoughts and feelings, it's like, oh, there's like a whole other morality issue to all of it now as well. Like, it's not just a robot. And then there's some other kind of interesting stuff that happens, some exciting, you know, things, if that sounds intriguing to you. I really enjoyed it. It honestly reminded me of like another book we've read for our book club that, you know, I'm talking about. But that kind of like humorous...
Yes.
Robot, sci-fi. Yeah. Like, I've really enjoyed the characters and the story. I'll probably continue the series in the future when I have time or when I feel like it. But yeah, overall, really enjoyed it. So again, if you're interested in sci-fi or you read sci-fi, check it out. It's not too complicated. I understood probably most of the sciencey stuff in it. There's like a couple things that were like, don't know what that means, but they did a good job of describing it.
Yeah, sorry, I had to look something up, and I know you were a little bit disturbed because I was trying to look at my books in the shelf next to us, but I do have a book by Martha Wells.
Oh, really?
Which is Witch King. Yes.
Oh,
so that just really piqued my interest to maybe get that one done, although I've said that before, so we'll see what actually happens.
This
is a recommend for sure.
For sure. Like, yeah, I definitely recommend. Even if, I don't know, I just
even
really
if it's outside
it.
Your genre.
Yes. Definitely would, give it a chance. Like, that's who I would give someone who's like, I want to try science fiction.
Yeah.
Here you go.
All right. So the next one on my list is The City of Brass by S.A. Chakraborty. Also publishing under the name Shannon now. So her newer books are Shannon Chakraborty. So it's historical fantasy. It follows a girl named Nari. It starts in Cairo. It quickly becomes a story of djinns and magic and secret societies. It was really well done. I almost don't want to explain too much about it because I really want you to read it specifically. But it does have a great level of world building to it. And Chakraborty is also, so she is Muslim. Mm-hmm. It is very Muslim based. And I really appreciated that there was just a lot of thought going into that world building, and also that it was so different from, and this is particularly because I've been reading a lot of, or I've been aiming to read a lot of more European centric fantasy. And so the change of pace there was really good for me specifically. There's also, I mean, there's a guy in it and he's like war criminal almost level of will protect this woman. And you know, that's just my jam.
Yeah.
So that really sold it on me. I also really love, and this is just coming from reading a lot of Robert Jordan, so Chakraborty doesn't shy away from some heavier topics, but I really appreciate how she wrote about them in a way that didn't make me feel gross as a woman. It made me feel a little bit more seen, even though we're talking about sensitive topics like rape and sexism and stuff like that, that generally can be a little bit iffier to read about.
Yeah.
So I did really like it. I would probably recommend this to everyone who likes fantasy, especially if you're looking for something that feels a little bit fresher, even coming from a standpoint of thinking about other books I've read that are kind of similar. This one really stands out in how detailed the world felt. And I did really love the historical fantasy aspect of it. So highly recommend this book. I would almost call it a must read if you're a fantasy reader. Right. If you're not a fantasy reader, you're probably not going to like it. And I definitely wouldn't start with it because it's a pretty complicated world. So definitely take that into consideration. I will be shoving this into Megan's hands at some point and telling her to read it.
As expected. Yeah.
This was also part of our book club, and it was recommended to us by one of the people who attend some of our book club sessions. So shout out to Kaylee for that great recommendation. Thank you very much. What's your next one?
Okay. So the next one I read was Infinity Particle, which is by Wendy Sue. And it's another graphic novel.
Okay.
Because I was just feeling those vibes.
You were feeling the graphic novel vibes.
Yeah. And it is science fiction based, young adult, and very cute. I'm just going to say that. It follows, I believe her name is Clementine, the main character. And she decides to move to Mars to kind of get away from her life on Earth, start this new job opportunity working with artificial intelligence, basically.
Okay.
And then her new boss has this humanoid AI named Kai, and it kind of just plays around and follows, again, artificial intelligence, human emotions, and like kind of the blurred lines between those.
You had a vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's very interesting. I will say content warnings for some emotional abuse. And it's like, I would say it's quite graphic just because it is a graphic novel and it is right. like exploring that in the novel. Like, you know, again, that morality with how to treat AI and like they have human emotions too. So how do you treat it? That's just the concept that's kind of going on in the book. So
right.
again, super, it's still super cute. It was like a little romance book.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful art. And I guess I would recommend that one as well.
Okay, perfect. Lots of recommends coming from Megan today.
Yep.
Love that. So we have The Order of the Pure Moon Reflected in Water by Zen Cho. Yes, I did buy this because of the title.
Yes.
It's also beautiful. It's got blossoms on the cover. It's a very, not anime looking, but very...
Mm-hmm.
That vibe, we're pulling from that vibe. And also it reads almost, it isn't a manga, but it reads like a manga, if that makes any sense. It's very short as well. It was 160 pages.
Oh wow.
And yeah, I think this one was just fun. I don't think I would recommend it to anyone unless they found it, but also it was fun. Definitely like check it out if you like it. It was about a group of bandits, thieves, who end up with a votary from the Order of the Pure Moon, so almost like a religious figure following in their group. And it just had some really interesting humor and comic moments. Very lighthearted, very easy to read. I will say I kind of got to the end and wished there was more.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was kind of the point, to kind of want that little bit, just like a little snippet into this life. But yeah, if you want something just full of fun, I think I would recommend. Yeah. I also read Assassin's Apprentice, which is book one of the Farseer trilogy by Robin Hobb. This is actually a series. It's set up in trilogies, but there's quite a few installments of the trilogies throughout the series. So it's very cool. It tells the story of Fitz, who is the bastard son of a noble prince. And in this world, there is different types of magic, including a specific type of magic called the Skill, and also a darker type of magic that is called a couple different names, but allows Fitz to connect with animals and bond with them, which isn't always used in a great way in the world. So it's kind of looked upon very harshly. I will say this was a really cool book. I really enjoyed it. It is kind of an installment that I've been wanting to read because I've been trying to flesh out my fantasy reading history for some obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So Robin Hobb is a must read in that genre. And so I'm very excited to continue the series. I will say I would recommend this to anyone who loves the fantasy world, but is maybe looking to get more into high fantasy. This is one of the installments that you just kind of need to read at some point. I would recommend this personally right now over The Wheel of Time, although I am one book in. Mm-hmm. So again, that could change. I will say content warnings for animal death and abuse kind of caught me off guard.
Right.
And is definitely there. I guess the other thing to mention about this book is he's being trained as an assassin, but that's kind of implied in the title. So
yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. But definitely recommend. This would be one I would probably recommend to you if you ever wanted to get more into the high fantasy world. However, it is pretty slow paced, so right. you would need quite a bit of time to get through it. There was a lot of times where you're just kind of not being pulled to read it,
mm-hmm.
but once you get into it, you really keep going. Okay. So
interesting. Maybe one day
I'll try it.
Next one is Cruel Illusions by
Margie Fustin. Yeah,
which you lent to me.
I did.
So thank you for letting me borrow it. I have a
beautiful copy of it. Yeah,
very beautiful. Mixed thoughts and feels.
Yeah,
yeah.
What did I promise you though?
That'd be fun.
It would be fun.
Which it was. I would say overall interesting story follows Ava, whose mother was murdered, and she's kind of like in the foster care system with her younger brother, and she doesn't really feel like she belongs, and she kind of feels like her brother is like stepping away from her, basically growing yeah. apart. And she's always had a thing for magic tricks and yes. that kind of a thing. And so she ends up at this circus type magic show, and something just like pulls at her, and she is very intrigued. She introduces herself to one of the magicians, and it's just very interesting, and they're just encouraging her to come along with them to travel
with the circus
basically. So we've, you know, delve into that part of it. And then
vampires
also exist, which are well known in the world. Yes. They kind of had
they exposed themselves yeah. at some point, and from that point on, everyone's just known about them.
They're like know about them, but then they kind of like died down a little bit, so that people
it's almost myth.
Yeah, it's like people are like, did that actually happen?
Yeah, can't that was remember. Weird.
That was weird. So then, yeah, it follows her traveling as this magician, and then finding out that they're actually vampire hunters too. And
if she wants to be part of their crew, she has to compete in a competition.
Just keep, yeah. And very interesting. A lot happens. I feel like the plot had one direction, and then all of a sudden had another direction.
Yeah, it hit an end, and then you made a sharp left or a sharp right. I liked that about that almost until the end.
Yeah.
But then I felt like at the end, it was just too many. There was a point happening. Where the sharp turns needed to stop, and they didn't.
Yeah, it kept going.
Yeah.
There's definitely a lot of repetition. Like, I was like, this book does not need to be 500 pages. It could have been like 400 and some,
mm-hmm.
because there was just a lot of repetition of like her thoughts and her feelings. She said,
I actually had the opposite feeling. I wanted the writing to be better, but I also wanted it to be like longer. That's like,
kind of
we're getting I wanted it to be longer because the end felt super not paced properly. Yeah.
I think the wrong things were focused on make it longer, if that makes sense. So like that's kind of what I didn't love about it. Some plot holes, but yeah, fun. There's cute little romance, little bit gruesome. I'm gonna put that out there just in case you're don't love that.
Yeah, I always put content warnings on my reviews, but this one I almost wanted to be like, no, I actually mean it.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't that there was blood in it. There was a lot of blood.
Yeah.
It's not that there was injury. There was a lot of injury. Which, like, it's not like there was death. It was a lot of death.
Which, like, I appreciate because it is about vampires.
But the writing didn't match the gruesomeness, and I think that was a misstep.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at my review of it also. So it took kind of more hits on the writing and the plot. The characters I did really like.
Yeah.
I just fell in love with. So that was that. Overall, I gave it a 3.75 mm-hmm. with kind of the side note, this is super fun. If somebody's looking for a fun YA book, I would highly recommend this.
Yeah.
But also go into it ready for the YA to really stand out.
Yeah, for sure.
I thought the best written part was actually how immature Ava read as, because it made me believe her age.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, I think there was some serious moments that needed more weight to them. And it was kind of like, oh my God, this person's literally being drained of their life in front of me. Cool.
Yeah. Moving on.
Not quite matching up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of took that one over from you, and I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Unlike the discussion.
What would you recommend?
I think, like you said,
with an asterisk. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's a fun, easier read if you're looking for like a fun vampire.
Yeah. I actually remember giving this one to you because you were looking for books, and I had three other books that I was trying to choose between, I think. And I said, what are you looking for at the end of the day? Do you want like a really good read? Are you looking for writing, plot, character? You're like, I just kind of want to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually I wasn't really focused on that one. And I was like, this is fun? Cruel Illusions. Have fun. Have a great time.
Yeah, so if you're looking for that, pick it up.
All right, so the next two I'm going to lump together for me. So I read Heartstopper Volume 1 and 2 by Alice Oseman. This is a Netflix show. It is also, it used to be on, actually it's still on Webtoon.
Oh.
And I have read it there. So this was a reread of a series that I watched on Netflix. Really love it. It's a coming of age story about a young gay man who has recently come out and felt the repercussions of that. There was a lot of bullying, but also people have now really come to accept him and he's kind of living his truth. And the story of him falling for his quote unquote straight friend, or who he thinks is his straight friend, who turns out to be not so straight. I love this story. It's so cute. It's a very young adult, but it's so good in its young adultness.
Yeah.
I really love it. I'm currently working on the next two volumes as well. So that's just kind of what that is. And then we have our last book, which is the same one for both of us.
Yay. The Sandman, Volume 1, Preludes and Nocturnes.
So this was, I enjoyed reading it.
Mm-hmm.
It was darker than I was expecting, which I should have been expecting it.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah.
This was our book club book for February as well. I will say, I think my overall opinion of it is it was good, but I'm also probably not going to finish this set of graphic novels just because I kind of got what I needed to out of it.
Yeah.
And it is very entrenched in the 90s. And there is a lot of, I hate to be a broken record, but sexism, misogyny, violence against women that I just
yes.
don't really want to read about personally. I think I will be looking at, I think it's a Netflix show.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I watched the Netflix show and yeah, it's way less.
They updated it.
Yeah. Like they definitely like, oh, it's 2023. Let's.
Yeah. And this is by Neil Gaiman and he was heavily involved in that. And mm-hmm. he was talking about it a lot on Twitter with this. And I think it's Good Omens that he also.
Yeah.
recently got turned into a show, and both of them kind of have given him an opportunity to, I think he's kind of mentioned almost like an opportunity to go back to it and not fix, but address some things that yeah. he didn't think about or didn't have as such an important thing to look at. So yeah, I'm more intrigued to watch the Netflix show, which this never happens.
Yeah.
After reading this, I did think the last issue in volume one was the best.
Yeah, I agree. I loved that one. And it was the only one where a woman was portrayed
prominent
as,
and portrayed nicely.
Yeah, portrayed nicely and like interesting. And yeah, like I agree with you. Like overall, it was like interesting concept of the endless and seeing dream and what he does. But I didn't love the women, how they were treated. I didn't like how they were portrayed. There was a lot of it. And like for that, like I was going to give it like 3.75, but then I was like, I really didn't like those scenes. Like it really affected.
Really bothered me.
Yeah. So I was just like, I gave it 3.5.
Yeah.
Like, it's still very interesting. Again, I'm not going to continue reading it.
Yeah. I think if somebody was really into graphic novels, this is one I would say try.
Yeah.
With some asterisks, I would definitely give some content warnings about, but it felt very similar to Watchmen, V for Vendetta era of graphic novels, in which it is a lot darker. It's really pulling from that comic book
yeah.
source material, where we've kind of seen graphic novels move away from that and get their own. There's a lot more stylizing, I think, happening. Maybe not that's different now, but I'm noticing it a lot more mm-hmm. in the more current ones. And I will say it's definitely not. We've recommended some really lighthearted graphic novels.
Yeah.
Heartstopper being literally one that I just
yeah
would say. But definitely not. This is not lighthearted. Definitely go into it knowing that it's going to be dark.
Yeah. And I think I wish I kind of knew that a bit more going in.
Yeah,
that's I would have been more and like it's DC universe, like there's dark topics for sure and
yeah
that,
once you get the DC universe and stuff, you kind of expect it a little bit yeah. more. But if you're going into it blind, you could definitely
I was definitely a little caught off guard, and I was just like, oh, I really liked, because I watched the show first and I was like, I really liked it and don't remember a lot of this happening in it. And yeah, but you know what? I feel like it's one of those like classic graphic novels.
It's nice
novels.
That I've read a little bit of it, so I can say I've read a little bit of it. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. All right. We need to move on to our currently reading.
Okay.
So I'm currently reading Heartstopper Volume 3. I'm also currently reading Lord of Chaos by Robert Jordan. And I'm currently reading Kingdom of Copper, which is the second installment of the City of Brass series by Chakraborty. So those are what I'm working on right now. Shout out to me in January who said I was going to read the Invisible Library series.
And didn't.
It's coming.
It's coming. But I just like how you were so honest and said, you know, like I probably won't. And we'll read 14 other books. And
it was really close.
Yeah.
15 other books. Yeah. So
it was really close. And I feel like that is
self-awareness.
Yeah. You're growing.
I'm growing as a person. It's all the books I'm buying.
Yeah.
What are you currently reading?
I'm currently reading Days at the Morisaki Bookshop by Satoshi Yagasawa.
Okay.
And translated from Japanese. And nice. It's kind of reminding me a little bit of that Before the Coffee Gets Cold vibes. Like very, it's not magical realism, but it is very like comforting.
Okay.
And lighthearted read.
Cozy
read. Yeah. Like it's just, and it kind of like explores this young woman's life who just like going through it, and she decides to go live at her uncle's bookshop and starts to read and is loving it. And it's just a really nice read. And then I'm also gonna read Talon by Julie Kagawa.
Yeah, so that's actually our March book for our 2 a.m book club. So shout out to the 2 a.m book club if you want to join that. We conduct that on Discord, so go check us out. Link is in the description of this podcast.
Yes.
Shall we draw for our next topic?
Yes.
All right, so this is books that we've recommended to each other. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
I'm excited for this. We might hurt each other's feelings a little bit.
Are you going to hurt my feelings?
No. What are you talking about?
Right. I don't know if this is just off the top of my head here.
Yes.
But I can't think of a bad book you've recommended to me.
I'm sure there's... I feel like we know each other well enough that...
The success rate is high.
Yes. Yeah. That's the thing. So it'll be interesting to see what comes.
I know you've said you've read books and then I've just taken them from you and not really loved them. But that was more me inflicting that on myself because you weren't like, here you go.
Yeah. I didn't say you should read it. So you did that to yourself.
I did that to myself. So I'm sure it's going to be more the good than the bad and the ugly. But
yeah,
we'll see.
Okay.
Maybe I'll get my feelings hurt.
No. I was joking. Okay. I don't want to hurt your feelings.
All right. Any final thoughts here, Megan?
I don't think so. I think that was good catch up.
I actually have one, which is, I'm so glad you're back.
I'm glad I enjoyed, to be back.
I enjoyed having Alex and Tay, don't get me wrong, on the pod. We'll definitely have to have them back on with us, but I am glad you're back as well. So,
yay.
Thanks. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode of the Book Jar Pod. If you liked what you heard, please consider giving us a review or a rating wherever you're listening to this podcast. If you want to join our Discord server, reminder, we do have that. It combines our sister podcast, Queens of Fantasy Pod, and our book club, the 2 a.m. book club, into one convenient place along with conversations about this podcast. You can find a link to that in the description of this podcast. We also have a Instagram that you can follow at the Book Jar Pod there. Otherwise, we thank you so much for listening, and let's leave it with a good old keep on reading on.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone. I'm not going to ask you for the banjo because you just came back and I don't want to scare you away.
I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. My heart's not in it anymore.
You can't do it anymore?
Can't do it anymore. You know what? I'm proud of myself because I feel like I did like all of the genres.
You did good.
I feel like I did pretty good. Like I'm proud of myself.
Also 10 books?
10 books.
Like I came in with 15.
Like I am almost, I'm surpassing you. And like, I feel like I will.
You're going to surpass me this year?
No, that's too high.
I would take that bet.
No. But
you're doing really good.
Go with the flow.
Go with the flow, but also following your little prompt thing.
follow my prompting. I don't care if the book's a novella. I don't care if it's a poetry book. I don't care if it's a graphic novel. It takes me 2 hours to read. Like,
yeah,
I'm enjoying
it. Bring it.
Except I do hate that I'm like 5 books ahead of my reading goal, but I'm 230 pages behind.
Oh, are you?
And that stresses me out.
Robert Jordan.
Yeah, you're probably.
Yeah, is really putting me ahead of my pages goal. Yeah. I'm 862 pages ahead, but I'm only one book ahead.
I mean, you're still ahead, and that's what matters.
No, I am trying to stay ahead this year because last year was stressful. I got to the end of the year, and I was really convinced I was going to read 32 books in like a day. We're not doing that this year.
No, I'm proud of you too. Thank you. That wasn't as funny. It was more practical, and that's okay.